WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us here today. Good afternoon to you. We're about an hour away from kickoff down in Miami between the Patriots and the Dolphins. This story broke, I think, Thursday night, Friday morning, right around then. Robert Kraft, for the 13th time, will have to wait at least one more year before he ever makes it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, assuming that he ever does. When I read that whole thing earlier in the month, and I think it was like right at the beginning of November, I want to say, that whole story on ESPN by Don Van Natta about how Stacey James is cornering people at parties and they're giving away copies of the book and all this stuff. And
it was further back than that.
Was it really?
Wasn't
I thought it was
like 3 months ago.
I don't think it was 3 months ago, was it? I don't know. Whatever it was. Regardless, there was a long form piece about it on ESPN. And it seemed like that was it, right? Like, you read that and you thought, okay, like, that's pretty sad. This whole thing's being laid out there for everyone to see. This is the reason why he hasn't been let in up until this point. But now it seems like, okay, it's all out there. You've put him through the ringer. You've embarrassed him. You've shown the world how thirsty he is to get into the Hall of Fame. And now that he's been shamed and sort of put in his place, now you can finally put the guy in the Hall of Fame. Because we all agree he deserves to be there, right?
Are
there any holdouts here in this room? Okay, because
he orchestrated one of the greatest dynasties the sport has ever seen.
Right. There's a million reasons why he should be in. Unless the only convincing argument I've heard is that people who say, I don't think any owner should be in. And it's like, fine. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah,
if that's how you feel.
But that's not the reality of it.
But there's other owners who are in, and if there are owners who are going to be in, then he has to be one of them, is how I look at
that. That's like being like, I don't think there should be a Hall of Fame. It's
right.
Like, okay, fine,
right.
Okay.
But there is one, and there's people in it, and there's these little busts that people carve, and that's how it works, and it's in Canton, and it's really popular. But yeah, I agree with you, Mega. Like, that's the only argument I get. Well, owners shouldn't be in at all. Fine. That's great that you think that, but they are in, and if they are in, and Boland's in, and Jones is in, and these other guys are in, then Robert Kraft should certainly be in there. And I thought that article was the last sort of indignity that he would have to face in terms of all of this, you know? Like, I thought that was going to be the last time where we all laughed at Robert Kraft, and we're like, okay, like, that's pretty sad, Robert, that you're doing all this, but now you can let him in. Nope. Instead, Ralph Hay gets the job.
I ask who?
Ralph Hay died 80 years ago. He died in 1944. When he died, Robert Kraft was 3 years old.
Wait, was the NFL even a thing then? Wasn't it like the AFL and it wasn't the actual NFL that we know.
No.
First Super Bowl didn't get played till like 63.
Right. He is considered one of the founding fathers of the NFL.
What are we doing?
He owned a team called the Canton Bulldogs from 1918 to 1923, not Canton, Massachusetts.
What are we doing?
Those 5 years of ownership included the meeting hosted by Hay that led to the creation of the first incarnation of what would become the NFL.
Who cares? Like,
they clearly didn't think this guy should have been in either. He's been dead for 80 years, you know, so it's like...
That's what blows my mind. Like, what are we doing of putting this guy in now? Like, if you didn't want to put him in years and years and years and years ago, why now? Like, I don't know. Let's focus on other people who actually really deserve it.
Right.
Do you think that there's anything that the voters are, like, trying to, I don't want to say, like, blackmail? Like, what are they, is there something that they want from Kraft?
They need to be bribed?
I don't know.
Is there something that they can gain from keeping Kraft out other than just, you know, embarrassing him?
Something to gain from keeping him out, sure. Is there something that they want from him? If there was, I'm sure he would have given it to him by now. I mean, he's desperate to get in. That's obvious. We know that from the ESPN piece. And Tommy Curran just told us earlier today that he sort of resigned to the idea that it's maybe not going to happen in his lifetime, maybe
ever.
Which
is a shame.
Which is ridiculous if you're talking about a Hall of Fame that already has Jerry Jones and Pat Bowlen in it. I mean, that's just, come on. There's no logical explanation for it, Mega. You want to know my theory on it is that there's one or more people on that committee who have just decided Robert Kraft is getting into this Hall of Fame over my dead body.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you got to wait for him to die. And that's really what's going to happen. Yeah, that too. But I think it's as simple as that. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. I could guess maybe. But anything that you can apply to Robert Kraft as a reason to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, you can apply to Boland, you can apply to Jerry Jones. Pat Boland in the Denver Broncos, he was the owner of the Broncos when they circumvented the salary cap with Terrell Davis and John Elway and won those two Super Bowls. So there you go. There's your scandal right there. Jerry Jones, do I have to go back over the resume of Jerry Jones and all of his scandals? So if, you know, you think that Florida and Orchards of Asia is the reason why he's out, well, then Jerry Jones shouldn't be in either. There's not one thing unique to Robert Kraft, except maybe his behavior and when I say behavior, I mean putting out the dynasty and blaming everything on Belichick, all the books and
but
all
that. But that has nothing to do with other owners. Why would they care?
That doesn't really have much to do with it, except it makes you look kind of pathetic. And I think that that was maybe part of the reason why he'd been out for 13 years. Now I think it's something else. Now I think there's just somebody on there with a grudge who has just decided, I am not voting for this guy. I'm not going to let him in. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure he never gets in. He never sees this Hall of Fame. And that's what it looks like. And at that point, I mean, what can you do? You know, it's a political thing, and he's on the wrong side of it.
Do you think his candidacy, sorry, Shem,
no.
But do you think his candidacy gets worse as they get farther away from the dynasty years?
No, I mean, clearly.
Because he'll get in eventually. It's just a matter of whether.
Yeah, it's just going to be posthumously, unfortunately. Yeah.
There aren't a lot of Patriots fans up in arms about this either, by the way. You notice that?
Yeah, probably because they're not winning right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Been for 5 years.
I don't know how happy the Patriots nation is with Robert Kraft.
Well,
right
and that's
now.
Why I'm asking, like, does it hurt his candidacy that. It didn't happen back in, I don't know, 2020, like the first year without Brady.
Maybe, but it's also, I mean, it's been 13 years that he's been eligible, right? He's been eligible to go in for 13 years, and that goes back into the dynasty, in the middle of the dynasty.
In those 13 years, they've won 3 more Super Bowls and been to 4.
Right, so,
like,
you know.
How does that, like, it doesn't even make sense to me. It's
the
just,
team
it's
with the best winning percentage in North American sports for a time. 5th most valuable franchise in the world. You know, like, I mean, we're talking about something that no owner can really, other than Jones and a couple other guys, no one can really say
and
this.
Even
lighthouse.
Jerry Jones can't. Like, he hasn't had a dynasty like this.
He didn't drag Dallas from the depths of the league up to where they are. Dallas was always pretty popular.
And
they
everybody
an
gives
team.
Jimmy Johnson the credit for those wins anyways.
Right, that too.
Like, nobody gives the credit to Jerry Jones.
Oh, that's another one. Oh, well, he fired Bill Belichick. Jerry Jones fired
Nobody's
Johnson in the middle of the Dallas run. I mean, he fired him in the middle of that. While that was all happening, at least
Barry
Kraft waited.
Switzer
he
in.
Waited until Belichick couldn't coach anymore and started to suck as a coach before he fired him. Jones fired Johnson right in the middle of the Dallas dynasty, and I use that term loosely, but it was right as that all was happening. That was much more egregious than Kraft firing Belichick, I thought.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. And even if he fired Belichick, it's not like somebody else immediately gave Belichick a job.
I don't think that's what he's paying for.
No, I don't either. I mean, again, it's been 13 years.
I think all these same people hate Belichick too.
It's probably
you think Belichick will face this issue?
No, not like this because he's a coach and it's different voters. But I think for the thing on the other side here, for the collaborators and owners and things like that, it's going
to
be.
It has to be some like former.
They'll just find a new guy to road in every year. If they made Ralph Hay the guy this year, they'll find somebody else next year.
It has to be some former Colts or Jets or somebody with those teams that the Patriots just destroyed for years, and they still just hold them accountable for deflating. Gate and Spygate and all that crap.
So
and
stupid.
It is a childish grudge that is preventing Robert Kraft from getting in the Hall of Fame, and it's a shame.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like there this week. It was probably tough in that building this week.
You know Gillette?
I mean? Yeah. Well, maybe in like the corporate side. I don't know if it was tough down in the locker room or anything, but like if you're up there, you're working in one of those offices, you see Kraft walking around, it's like, don't make eye contact. Like, you know, he probably didn't take it too well. And I understand, he's resigned to the idea that it maybe won't happen. I thought for sure this time around when I saw the list of the other candidates, I saw Modell and, you know, Doug Williams and guys like that. And I was like, okay, you know, these are names. None of them deserve to be in over Kraft. He's easily going to get in this time around. This is probably the biggest layup in terms of a field that he's had so far. And they go with Ralph Hay? Oh, God.
And
man,
he's like been one of Goodell's biggest supporters, too, through all of this. And Goodell has been in this job now for how many years? Like, a ridiculous amount of time. And it just seems so odd. He seems in such a good place right now with current owners and other ownership in the league. And yet there's still somebody on this committee who refuses to ever allow Robert Kraft in.
Yeah. I hope it's
like Deep Throat where the like source comes off. Out on their deathbed. He's like, I'm the one who kept Robert Kraft off for 22 years.
You're right, by the way, Mego. That Van Natta piece came out in September. So yeah, I was way off on that. It was months ago. And it was embarrassing. I mean, I read through that whole thing. It was so long. I remember reading it and going, like, the NFL season's about to start. That's right. It was right before the season started. And I'm like, the NFL season's about to start? And they're writing 8,000 words on how thirsty Robert Kraft is to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, what is the point of this other than to embarrass the guy? And I think he was embarrassed by it. I think everybody was embarrassed by it. It was an embarrassing piece of media. but that should have been it, right? Like, you think that's it. Okay, well, now we've hung the guy out to dry, and we made this whole big deal about what a weirdo he is about getting into the Hall of Fame and how mad he is that Jones is in and he isn't and blah, 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 all this other stuff. And then they go with Ralph Hay instead. Like, that is... That I almost in some level kind of admire the grudge, you know? Like, I hold grudges. I don't know I could hold one like that. That's like a next level petty, isn't it?
That is a Rich Keefe level grudge. I mean, he's a big fan of grudges.
That's right up there.
Is he a big grudge holder?
He's a big grudge guy. Loves a good grudge.
Interesting. Has he ever held a grudge against you over something?
Yes, actually. The argument him and I had over what constitutes a, like, decade... whether it starts at like 1990 to 99 or 91 to 2000, we had a
what side
he literally wanted to choke
me. First of all,
in the
it's
air.
Definitely 90 to 99.
Thank you.
It's not 2000. That's the 2000s.
That's what I said.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he said 2000 was part of the 90s.
Well, yeah, and like it
that's
involved
absurd.
Because like he's like true, you don't yeah. like when you talk about like NBA teams like the 99 2000 Spurs or whatever. He's like, you don't call them the 99 Spurs. I'm like, well, yeah, the season started in 99. They're the 99 Spurs.
People do call them that. Yeah,
that's... and we're also talking about calendar years versus.
We don't talk about the 2002 Patriots.
It was a whole. This was many many shows ago. This is a whole. I think it might have been even.
He held a grudge for being wrong.
You could call him wrong. I'm not gonna tell you you're wrong.
It's okay. Like saying that you're hosting Thanksgiving when everybody's bringing food to your house.
Yeah, to my house where I'm hosting. That's what hosting means.
Hosting.
Yes, it is.
I got
hosting means people coming to your house.
Yes, I would agree.
You're
a Thanksgiving venue.
But Mego,
yes.
Mego, if you had a big house and you hosted, but you ordered,
how do you know I don't?
And you got catering.
I don't.
It's still hosting people.
Sure is.
It's like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you got an event catered
at your
house.
There's only two people in the world who don't agree with this very simple
Jones and
concept.
Mega?
It's Jones and Mega.
And, Jones makes sense. I'm shocked you don't believe. Yeah, I
don't
agree with this.
I don't believe that Arcan is hosting.
Yes.
No.
Because you're dumb. 617-779-7937.
You and I fought earlier, Arcan. I support
that
you.
That is the phone number. Thank you very much.
I just know that I'm right in this. You're mm-hmm. the venue for Thanksgiving. You might
right.
as well,
that's the host.
You might as well go to a restaurant. With what you're doing.
When
you
they can, have the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
I would, and if I did, the restaurant would be hosting.
You can make the reservation, and then you can say that you're hosting at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Except I'm not, because it's not at my house.
You can sit at the head of the table.
I will
nice.
Sit at the head of my table. At my house, where I'm hosting Thanksgiving. 617-779-7937. I don't know. I don't care. My brother-in-law is a chef. He's going to do all the food. I don't care about that. All I care about is that it's my house.
Sounds like an excellent
Everyone's
host.
Coming to my house.
Yeah. If
we were at his house, then he'd be hosting.
Are you going to have drinks and finger foods for everybody? Or
bet your ass I am.
Then, yeah, he's a host.
Even if I didn't, I'd still be hosting. Because they're coming to my house. This is such a simple concept.
Yeah.
Mm. Only a real idiot wouldn't get it. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls. Here's Chris Scheim, who is not an idiot, with what's trending. I don't think we've ever had Rush as a rejoin before. Jacob, nice job, buddy.
We definitely have.
Not on this show.
We definitely have.
On this show?
Yes.
What?
Tom Sawyer.
I don't remember playing Tom Sawyer.
I probably played it to introduce Fitzy at some point.
Our cast is so off today.
Maybe.
You've been striking out on a lot of random things.
Are you a big Rush guy?
I like Rush.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg
I
hates
saw
Rush
back
so
in 2012.
Greg hates Rush?
Hates him. Hates
How do you
them?
Hate Rush? What's the hate?
He thinks they stink. So we don't play them very much on the morning show. And when I do, Greg gets all mad.
Well, Neil Peart died, so they don't even...
rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in power to Neil. But yeah, I don't even think they do anything anymore.
I
right?
saw Neil Peart live with Rush.
Did you really?
I did.
Cool.
Okay, Jacob.
Yeah,
weird flex from a young
man.
I'll
take
that.
Right, I know you're the youngest Rush fan in the history of the world. I think
it's like saying you saw the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia.
I know, right? We have Andy Hart, who are going to be joining the show. Don't know where he stands on Rush, but we'll be talking to him.
Probably doesn't like them, if I had to guess.
I would guess probably not.
Does Andy listen to music outside of country?
Outside of country music, not really.
Not really. Stiz plays a lot of like rap, and he never knows any of
them. No, he doesn't know any rap. Yeah. He might know a few pop songs just because he has younger kids, is my guess.
That's true,
but...
yeah. He surprised us all with like a SZA reference the other day.
Ooh,
we were like,
great
you know SZA? He's like, yeah. Yeah, totally got
good
it.
Obviously.
Deep
yeah,
pull.
Duh, big SZA fan over here.
Well done, Andy.
617-779-7937. Before we go to your phone calls, I'd just like to say this is Football Sunday. It's not all Patriots. I am really enjoying the downfall of New York football this week.
Oh, my God.
It has been great. Watching the Giants implode and cut their quarterback. The Jets are probably going to cut their quarterback, too. That whole thing is just tremendous.
The Jets are way more enjoyable from, like, a Schadenfreude perspective.
Yeah, I'd say so, because Aaron Rodgers is such a pud, and Danny Dimes seems like an all right guy. By the way, did you guys see L. Duncan just tap dancing on his grave
yesterday?
That was... Where did that come from? When did L. Duncan become like Don Rickles?
Like, does she have a personal grudge against Daniel
Maybe.
Jones?
She has the same kind of grudge against him that the Hall of Fame voters have against Robert Kraft. And people were all mad. That was the other thing. People were like, oh, I can't believe L. Duncan did that. And it's like, you can't believe that
it's
someone
in her name.
Criticized.
She's dunking on him.
Yeah, she did. She dunked
nice,
on him hard.
It.
And, yeah, we'll see. You said, what, 10 teams are looking to sign Jones?
According to Jake Lazor, 10 teams have inquired about Jones. Schefter believes it's the Vikings and the Ravens are, like, the front runners.
Interesting.
It's called the full Jim Montgomery.
Imagine putting Daniel Jones on the same team as Sam Darnold.
Mm.
Two New York failures.
Yeah.
Go to Kevin O'Connell, and he's like, don't worry, I'll just reclamation project
galore.
To
be fair, there's so many New York failures out there that it's hard to avoid
them.
It's
true.
They're all around. Even some of them are doing well now. Like Geno, like Darnold's
Geno
doing
Smith,
well.
Right?
Geno
yeah.
Smith doing well. You know, all these New York failures are finding their way in 2024 these days. And that, we'll just see if that happens for Aaron Rodgers. Probably not.
I think he was a failure before he got to the Jets, unfortunately.
Yeah. And Danny Dimes, we'll see what happens with him. There's teams that need starting quarterback help, you know? You're
Aaron
talking about backups there.
But the way that the Jets season is going, it's going to end early, and maybe he could end up in someone's cabinet.
Jones won't even have to sell his house. You can go to the Jets. There you go. And yeah, the Rodgers will be part of the transition team, I'm sure. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Scott in Rhode Island. He has a thought on the Hall of Fame and Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Love the show. Not a Patriots fan, but I listen to you guys. Very entertaining.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. First things first, Megal, I am a diehard Skins fan.
Oh.
I got the ticket last year. I don't even know what to do with myself. But I wanted to weigh in on the this obvious omission from the Hall of Fame. I think it is so petty that someone who left such an indelible mark on an organization is omitted from Hall of Fame. And I'm not talking about Kraft. I'm talking about Tuna. And I wanted you guys to share your thoughts on that because the irony is unbelievable. Kraft is doing to Tuna the same thing that the league's doing to him. I'm out, but I'm going to keep listening. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the call, Scott. I'd say Bill Parcells is a lot more for the Patriots Hall of Fame he's talking about, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much more polarizing sort of one side and another
and quite obvious
discussion, and I think that you'd sort of know the way things ended there, all of that. I mean, you can make the case, and a lot of people have, that without Parcells, this team never gets taken out of the dark ages, and I think that there's some truth to that as well. But I also understand why taking the different plane back after the Super Bowl and then going to the Jets and poaching Curtis Martin and all your other coaches and all that and leaving the Patriots in the lurch, have them reluctant to want to put him into the team Hall of Fame. There's many more reasons to keep Parcells out of the Patriots Hall of Fame than there is to keep Kraft out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing, is we kind of can see the writing on the wall with Parcells. Everybody knows
why
he's
not in. Yeah, we don't know the reason
in.
Why Kraft
we don't,
is in.
We can all just kind of guess at what the reasons with Kraft and the Football Hall of Fame, but we don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. I think Bill Parcells deserves to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame, but I also, again, believe Robert Kraft should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. So, I mean, I don't understand the point of holding all these grudges. Like, Kraft should put Parcells in, and Kraft should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. It's pretty simple. Like, both guys deserve to be in each of those spots. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. I don't know why we make everything so difficult. Everybody needs to relax and get over themselves a little bit.
We have a couple of updates here from warm-ups. The Patriots' offensive line and warm-ups, this according to both Chris's, Price and Mason, saying that the offensive line is Vedarian Lowe at left tackle, Michael Jordan at left guard, Ben Brown at center, Mike Onwenu at right guard, and DeMontre Jacobs, your right tackle, which means they're going with the same group for the third straight week.
That's good.
Continuity. Woo. I like
All
that.
All right.
I'm into
Look
it.
At
I'm
that.
Into the continuity. I think that's a good thing. Also, Evan Lazar and many others have reported that Joey Sly has been crushing 65-yarders.
I saw that.
With yards to spare. in warm-ups today. And the only reason why I even care about that at all is because Sly last week, they wouldn't go to him, and they were punting from inside the 40 because he was missing in the pregame.
Too windy.
Right. And so if he's making them today, then I hope they don't punk out and decide.
What if they say it's too sweaty for the holder? It's too hot. The hands get too sweaty.
Is it too hot in Miami, though?
No, I think it's pretty
80 degrees in Miami right now.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's 74.
It's going to feel hot to them.
Is it, though? It's really going to be nice.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's disgusting this week up here. It's horrible.
Yeah, it was gross up here.
Give me snow over the crap that we had to deal with over the last 3 days.
I couldn't agree with you more. I hate rain. Driving in rain is miserable because people are stupid and don't know how to drive, and it makes visibility awful. At least with snow, I can see.
Yesterday, I went down to the parade in Plymouth in the rain. I can't believe
there was a parade?
Oh, yeah, they have it every year.
In the rain?
The Thanksgiving parade in Plymouth, yeah.
Huh.
And they rain or shine, they do this thing. Channel 5 was there. It was this whole thing. And It was not. I mean, you know, they did a good job, all things considered, but the weather was miserable.
Oh, I can't.
We were just in the beer tent the whole time.
You cannot pay me to go to that.
The beer tent was cool.
And the weather that you had yesterday,
we had a good time.
I was supposed to have first Thanksgiving yesterday. It got canceled. People get sick.
First Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So like, you know, child of divorce, you have multiple Thanksgivings.
Ah.
So Saturday was supposed to be first Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, it got canceled. Somebody had COVID. Another person not feeling well. Just a whole thing.
All right. Well, for more on that and more on this matchup today, Patriots and the Dolphins, we welcome in our good friend Andy Hart, who you can hear on the Six Rings post-game show, which will be happening later today with Fitzy. Also, you can hear him weekdays 2 to 6 with myself on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, how we doing?
Hello. What's up, peeps?
Not too much. Just going over the main topics of the day. It seems like you're going to have the third straight week with this same offensive line for Drake May. We've talked a lot about continuity and how important that is. We also have talked this week, Andy, or I certainly have, about the Dolphins' defensive front and what sort of happened between them and the Rams and then the Rams and the Patriots. I feel like this is going to be a tough day in the trenches for New England. Is this something that makes you feel a little bit better about that, knowing that there's going to be at least some continuity there up front?
Marginally, I guess. I mean, I'd prefer continuity. I'd also prefer talent, but at this point, I think that ship has sailed on this season. So you get what you get, and you don't get upset, as they tell you in preschool when they're passing things out. This line, I feel like Drake May, even when he's selling it as good, is aware they're not, but has realized sort of this is what he's got to work with, and this is going to have to be good enough. And I do think from a quarterback perspective, just at least knowing the guys and their strengths and their weaknesses and their matchups gives him at least a chance to fight the good fight. Now, it'll be interesting to see run-wise how that goes. Didn't have to run as much of late. Is this a game where he feels some pressure and has to scramble, and is that a part of the game plan today in sunny South Florida? So I just feel like this O-line, it is what it is. I'm not going to get excited about these five guys being out there for three straight weeks. I'm not going to get excited about Cole Strange practicing at center, replacing Ben Brown. I mean, we know this is going to be a major overhaul in the offseason, or at least should be. Obviously it starts in the trenches for Drake May. How they deal with the pressure up front and how he deals with whatever that pressure is will probably go a long way towards deciding if they have a decent offensive day, because I think that's just the reality of the offense right now. It's him.
Andy, a lot of people around here thought that the coaching staff really got kind of played last week. They got outcoached by McVay and his staff.
Yep.
Do you think that there's a shot at redemption for the coaching staff this week going up against Mike McDaniel?
It's funny, when you said they got played, I thought you were referencing Karen Garigian and Alex Van Pelt and a certain admission that he made that he probably wishes he had never made.
Yeah, we spent like 20 minutes in the first hour on that. So.
Do I think this is a great matchup for them coaching-wise? No. Now, I think the bloom is off Mike McDaniel a little bit, certainly with the way he has kind of needed Tua, and they've been a different team with Tua, and some of the frustrations that they're dealing with down there at the receiver position with Tyreek Hill and Waddle kind of not having great years, and Hill going forever between end zone trips. And I didn't even realize, you look down, it's A-Chain is their number one receiver in terms of receptions on the season, even though you have two highly paid wide receivers there. So, you know, it's this defensive coaching staff did not do a good job last week. I'm guessing, based on the way they respond to criticism or even respond to requests from players, you will see Christian Gonzalez manned up with one of the top two receivers all day long. So nobody will be able to critique that and criticize that. They also previewed it this week with their, I think, confidence in Jonathan Jones on Tyreek Hill based on past matchups. We will see if that plays out perfectly, but I'm not sure they're going to need to make as many adjustments or even have adjustments because, you know, if those one-on-one matchups go the other way, Tua is probably going to find those opportunities and take advantage of them. I'm actually interested in seeing how the pass rush does. I think you can get after the Dolphins a little bit. You're without Dietrich Wise. Christian Barmore, we'll see if he evolves here. Ngakoue, I thought, was pretty bad last week. I don't know if that was just knocking off rust and getting back into game form on this team. But I think that pass rush is going to need to be impactful. And if that pass rush is not impactful, then I think what happens in the back end is probably going to go the Dolphins' way.
Andy, last week you had said you wouldn't have been shocked if Drake May had his blow-up week against the Rams. Instead, until that very last pass, he was actually the complete opposite, getting close to 300 yards and having multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, Andy.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yep. I'm just acknowledging.
I know he's a Drake May guy. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm getting to the question here. As weeks go on, and we're not getting a Drake May blow-up game, are you getting more and more confident that we may just never, or at least not really anytime soon, get a real blow-up game from Drake May and he's just going to keep improving?
No. I think it's still coming because, in part, what I just said, he is the centerpiece of the offense, and I don't trust the rest of it. And the pass you just referenced is a perfect example. I think that was a terrible job by Pop Douglas, my co-host over there, host one. Disagrees a little bit, thinks maybe AVP was defending his quarterback. But I think because of the unknowns on the line in the receiver position, that is going to put added stress on Drake May at some point in games or maybe some games, the totality of the game. And that will still probably lead to one of those really stinkers of an effort. Today, is it a possibility? Just based on history, having lived it with Tom Brady and having some of his stinkers come in Miami, is that just like some weird...
Or could he lift the curse?
Maybe. Absolutely. I think he's special, and I think we've already seen that with the way he lifted the curse of Dan Orlovsky, who's gone from his biggest opponent to
what
proponent.
A dink that guy is.
Kind of, yeah. Just sit down and do one of your three-minute videos and say, I'm sorry, I effed up, I was dead wrong, I couldn't have been more wrong.
Apologize.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we all know it, and we all screw up, right? Chris Schein, we all have these in our closets, right?
Yep.
These real skeletons.
My Joe Burrow take.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
I get it. And I stood up and I said, I'm wrong.
I said Sam Bradford was bound for Canton before he even stepped foot in the National Football League. I was trying to predict what class he would go in on. And he wasn't. He isn't. It was a disaster. It's okay.
We all miss sometimes.
Including the guys that are paid millions to do it, called GMs. They miss all the time in these things. Just admit you screwed up. Anyway, Drake May, I do think, is special, but he's a bit of a gunslinger. He'll take chances to make plays. He told us on the afternoon show, one of those interviews, if he sees a guy one-on-one, he's just flat out throwing it. He's going to give his guy a chance to make plays. And I think sometimes there'll be a bad throw. You mix that in with a bad cut or a receiver who's not fighting for the football, which he has some of, or you mix that in with some pass rush that maybe gets him hit. So I just think circumstantially, if you told me Drake May was surrounded by more talent, I would be starting to believe the stinker's not coming. He's really good. It's not going to play out that way. But because he's a rookie, because I think he tries sometimes almost too hard to make plays, and then you combine that with the receivers and the offensive line, I do think all those sort of questionable circumstantial pieces might fall in place for a negative day one of these days.
We're talking with Andy Hart. Andy, Tua Tagovailoa is 6-0 against the Patriots, never lost to them. Why do you think that he is so good against this team and is able to beat them so consistently? And do you think that that ends today?
I do not think it ends today. So we can preview my pick right there. I think because he's a smart, accurate quarterback, and I think those are the kinds of people that have given Bill Belichick teams over the years trouble, and Patriots defenses trouble. Because, you know, the Patriots play defense basically waiting for you to screw up, right? GTFB, make them go long drives, make them make a mistake, and, you know, guys will take chances or do things they shouldn't do. I think Tua is a pretty smart, accurate quarterback, and you mix that in with the talent he's had at the receiver position, I think that gives you sort of the ability to beat a Patriots defense. Now, this is obviously different. We talked about it. It's DeMarcus Covington and Jerod Mayo adjusting. I don't know that that makes me feel any better if I'm a Patriots fan going into a matchup that generally goes to his way. So I just think he's going to make it hard on you for the most part to beat him. Like, he's willing, I think, to be more conservative some of the time. And I think those are the guys that the Patriots have trouble with.
One guy who's been having a lot of trouble on the Patriots is Jalen Polk. Week to week, it feels like it's getting worse as the calendar goes on. What would you do if you were a coach on this team to try to get Polk right and at least see something out of him for the rest of the season?
If we're sticking to the preseason idea that we're going to play young guys later in the year and we're trying to lay a foundation and figure out what we have, I think I would get him reps. I would get him involved early. I would just find out one way or the other. Maybe this guy is broken and maybe he's never going to be anything for me and he's a bust that I'm going to run out of town in the offseason. But find out. I don't know. I mean, the guy's played a lot of football at a high level at Washington and seems to have confidence. Now, I'm assuming now that's kind of false bravado, false confidence based on the way everything has gone so miserably, poorly, badly, awful for him. But I think I would just get him out there. You know, I talked about this with Arkin during the week. Last week, Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne are your top receivers, and that's great if you're trying to play a competitive game against the Rams or trying to win a football game. I don't know how great that is for the long-term future. You know, I think there is some benefit from maybe having to take some lumps with Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and these guys if you truly are trying to lay a foundation for the future and figure out what you have. So I think I would do the old take him to the top of the hill and push him down the mountain and tell him to ski kind of approach with Jalen Polk. Get him out there, throw to him early, throw to him often, and see if he can look like the guy you really liked when you drafted him.
All right, then we'll leave it right there. Andy Hart, thanks so much for the time today. Good stuff as always. And you're picking Miami. Did we get a score out of you or not?
Yeah, let's go Miami. And I'm thinking somewhere in the 27-14 range. I think they kind of control the game. I don't think it'll be a blowout. Patriots compete. And that's the one thing I've sort of accepted with this team. They're going to fight to the finish. They're going to compete. But I think Miami wins the game by double digits.
All right, you heard it here first. You can also hear it after the game on the WEEI Six Rings postgame show alongside Fitzy. Andy Hart, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
See you.
Thanks, right, Andy.
That's Andy Hart joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday, and that means we only have one thing left to do, and that is pop, lock, and drop. We'll get to that next. WEEI Football Sunday, Arkin, Mego, and Shime. Just about out of time here before we hand things over to the syndicated radio, I think, and then we'll have the Six Rings postgame show for you after the game is over with Fitzy and Hart, who we just talked to. If you missed any of this, by the way, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. Just go ahead and search for all the weekend programming and NFL, WEEI NFL Sundays as well. But now, without any further ado, it is time to get to Pop, Lock, and Drop. This is where we go through all of our best bets of the day. Who's going to pop? Who should you lock? And what should you drop? Mego, who's your first pop?
Okay, my first pop is Cortland Sutton on the Broncos.
Okay.
With your guy, Bo Nix. They
my
see
guy,
the
Nix.
Raiders.
I'll tell you, Sutton's let me down a bunch this year.
I'll say that this is a specific bet that I'll throw out there.
All right.
The Raiders have lost their last six games. Sutton for 70-plus receiving yards is a plus 135 on DraftKings. He's done that the last four straight games, going against a dog crap team. I like that.
All right, my pop this week, I'm going to go, I never thought I would do this, but the Giants sat Daniel Jones and they're starting Tommy Cutlets, mm-hmm. Tommy DeVito. I love Tommy DeVito's rush yard line this week.
Oh, boy.
Just Tommy DeVito to be scampering all around the field. 25 yards. That's all it takes. Plus money. I love Tommy DeVito to pop this week on your screens against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. I cannot believe that you just said that.
Yes,
that's
I did.
Not what I was expecting whatsoever. My pop this week is Kareem Hunt. Kansas City Chiefs are taking on Carolina, who sucks. They're going to be running the ball a lot. Pacheco is out. So I'm thinking that Hunt's going to get the ball a lot and that he's going to run all over that Carolina defense. So give me him and any over you can think of. I'm thinking an anytime touchdown, over rushing yards. He doesn't really get incorporated into the pass game that much, so I might stay away from there. But anything rush-related with Hunt, I am all over today. All right, what is your lock, Mega?
My lock is Commanders, baby! Give me my Commanders! Washington, Dallas, obviously Dallas, another dog crap team. I think the Commanders are minus 10.5.
Yeah.
And they need a get right game after that Eagles Thursday night game. That was a tough break for my
guy, Jaden
Daniels.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So, well, it's like a mini buy because they had the Thursday game, so it's not their proper buy.
Okay.
All that to say, this is like the most obvious lock in the world to me. This is going to be just a feel-good game. I'm totally about this lock. It's not good value, but they need it.
I don't understand this game's line. It doesn't make any sense to me, which is why it's my lock of the century. Give me the Lions laying 7 at the Colts. It doesn't make sense. The Colts are a fine team. They snuck away with a win against the Jets last week. Anthony Richardson did look awesome in his first week back as the starting quarterback, but that is bound to fade. This Lions team is an absolute wagon. They should be favored by no less than 10 points against almost everyone in the league, especially when they're playing in a dome. Give me the Lions, lay the 7 all day, every day.
All right, my lock of the day is coming up later on tonight, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles in L.A. I think the Eagles are basically, I don't think they've fixed everything that's wrong with that team, but in their last 5 games with big wins over the Giants, the Bengals, the Jaguars, Cowboys, and the Commanders, I think that this is a team with a big hot streak and a ton of momentum coming into this Rams matchup, a Rams team who, by the way, lost to Miami and barely escaped that New England game with a victory as well. I think the Eagles easily cover that 3, and that is my lock of the week. All right, what are you dropping? What do you not want anything to do with, Mary?
Well, I
other than Shyam and I.
This is like a trend that I'm going with a lot of my drops. This is a game I very much am looking forward to watching, which is the Monday night game, Ravens-Chargers. I just wouldn't touch it if I was putting any money down because I just don't know what to expect from that.
Yeah, for me, it's this Texans-Titans game. It's such a weird... The Texans have been such a weird team this year. Everybody thought they were going to be awesome. It's been really kind of hit or miss. And this Titans defense is like legit. They are really good against the pass. They're really good against the run. I don't expect a lot of points. It's going to be an ugly division game, and I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm feeling that way about San Francisco Green Bay. No Brock Purdy, and I feel like Green Bay has just been a mess lately.
It just snowed in Green Bay, too, didn't it?
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, you got... Listen, it may end up being a fun game, but it's not a game I want to bet on at all. With Brock Purdy out, I think Bosa's out, too.
Also out, yep.
So, you don't really know what you're going to be expecting from the 49ers. I think that they can hang around. Green Bay's favored by 5.5 was the last one I saw. I don't know if it went up or down or what since
it is currently
since the
6.5 now.
Okay, so there's another point there now that Purdy's officially out. Even with that, the Niners are a talented team, and the Packers turn the ball over a ton. I'm staying away from this one. Want nothing to do with it. That is my drop. All right, let's go around the room. What do we think is going to happen today with the Patriots and the Dolphins, Mango?
I could definitely see the upset, but I just am not going to predict that. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, but I think it's going to be 27-20 Dolphins.
I am very much in the same realm as you. Love getting the extra half point here. Give me the Pats plus 7.5 in this game. I think they cover, but I also think that it's the Dolphins are going to control most of this game. I'm going 27-21.
Ooh.
I think this game has less to do with Drake May and the offense and more to do with this Patriots defense, which I think is about to reach a breaking point here in terms of futility. I know that last week you had a pretty good first quarter and a pretty good fourth quarter. I'm not sure they're going to have 2 good quarters here against these Dolphins. I think they lose like 35-13.
Oh, last time you did this, the Patriots won.
They did.
So I kind of like this.
And also, every time they've been underdogs of 1 score or more, they've won the game outright.
Really?
This year. Yeah, or the last 3 times anyway that that's happened. I don't know if it's every time, but the most recent times that that's happened, they've won the game outright. So maybe that'll happen again today. I don't see it. They never win in Miami. I think it's going to be an ugly one, but maybe I'll be wrong. Hopefully I will be. I'd rather see him win. All right, that's all the time we have here today. Want to say thanks to Fitzy. Thanks to Tom E. Curran. Thanks to Wiggy. Thanks to Andy Hart. Of course, great job back there by Jacob. As always, for Mego and Shyam, I'm Christian Arcand. Enjoy the rest of your football Sunday, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week at 10 o'clock. Bye.
See ya.